I'm here with Alexander Mercure, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, let's talk about France, the pension reforms. It looks like they've pulled back from 62, from 64 to 62, the pivot year. They've taken that back as well. That's the pivot year that was causing all the strikes to go on. And get into the story, Alexander. How do you see things playing out in France?
Well, I think that here again we see that, you know, Emmanuel Macron, the great leader as he imagines himself to be, the massive reformer, the person who was going to transform France, end its overburdened welfare policies. Napoleon the Fourth, or Louis the Nineteenth, or whatever he is, he's been forced into a retreat because what he has done has been so deeply unpopular with the French. And this was a policy, this idea of reforming the pension system. Now, I should say, France does need reform on its welfare policies. I mean, 62 years is very, very low for any country. People are living very long, much longer now. It is overburdening the system in France to expect people to go on paying, working people to go on paying other people's pensions when, people retire at such a young age. And on top of everything else, the French pension system is incredibly complicated. So it is in definite need of some kind of reform and reorganization. And you can say this about many other things in France. The trouble is, whenever reforms like this are proposed, especially when they're proposed by someone like Macron, they always work in the way that all the burdens of reform are placed on the sort of people in the middle class and below, and all the rewards go to the wealthy people in Paris who are the beneficiaries. So a system whereby, for example, Macron was trying to rebalance France's very overloaded budget by trying to, ease off taxes at the lower end, simplify the reform system, perhaps increase taxes at the higher end, that might actually carry traction. And, I'm not saying something that I don't know about. I mean, I know quite a lot about opinion in France. But the way he always does it, which is he comes along and says, this is unaffordable. We need a new dynamic free market France. We're going to do away with your pensions in this way. We're going to make you pay more for your petrol duties because, we're concerned about the green environment. Always done in this utterly arbitrary way. Of course, it provokes a reaction. And given that Macron is not actually very popular, completely unsurprising that it provokes a reaction. And eventually, and unavoidably, he's been forced to retreat. So once again, a reform program that perhaps France does need a reform program is not being carried out because all the burden of reform, as it is called, is shifted on to the people in the middle and below. And I get to predict this is how it's going to continue ever as long as Macron remains in power.
Okay, so let's get into what exactly was on Macron's mind as far as the pensions and the ground that he did give up. From what I understand, in the French system, you have around, I think it's either 42 or 44 actual funds. Yeah. Macron wanted to streamline them into one.
Yeah.
He wanted it to work on a point basis.
Yeah.
And the big topic that they gave ground to was something that they called the pivot year. In other words, they tried to bump it up from 62 to 64, but they said at 62, you can retire, but the year that you actually start to draw a full pension is in 64. If you retire early, you lose points. If you retire later, you gain points.
Yeah.
And he had this scheme as to how to streamline the entire process. Now, I know in the UK, I think it's 67, I believe, the retirement age.
It's moving up there. It's not quite there yet, but that's where we're going.
Do you think that Macron's reforms made sense?
No, they are incredibly complicated. A simpler reform of the pension system, a logical reform of the pension system, would be certainly one in which you have a simpler, more streamlined system of of a pension system, but one where people's pensions start being paid to them when they're 65. But that's not what Macron is up to. That's not what he's done at all. I mean, that was this incredibly overcomplicated point system that you've described is a bureaucrat's nightmare. And of course, it's made people incredibly nervous in France. So unsurprisingly, they've opposed it and they've rejected it. And can I just say something else? On top of everything else, one of the problems with Macron is that he has this terrible manner that which he has when he speaks to people. I was actually in France on New Year's Eve. I was in Haute-Savoie in the south, where my wife was skiing, and I was watching Macron on television. And his address, his New Year address, went on for 18 minutes, and it just went on. It seemed to be going on and on and on, and he was lecturing the French in a way that people don't like being lectured, and they certainly don't like being lectured on New Year's Eve, which is, after all, supposed to be a celebration. So it was the optics of it were disastrous, as I could see. And of course, he was doing it from the Elysee. He was standing up for some reason instead of doing it behind a desk, which made it all look even more imperious in some ways. And there was, you know, the tricolour and all this. But I mean, it didn't look somehow at all attractive. And of course, it wasn't. And a lot of people in France were, quite apart from the specifics of the pension reform, increasingly don't like Macron. And frankly, the fact that they don't like Macron is going to make them very resistant to any proposal like a pension reform which he makes. So he's once again disappointed his globalist elitist friends. He's annoyed the elites in Paris, who are his ultimate supporters. He's lost face with the Germans, which matters a lot to him, because a lot of these reforms are intended to impress the Germans. But there we are. He's not an adroit politician, and he doesn't really understand how to do these things. And his agenda, anyway, is one which the French don't like.
Okay, so where do we go from here, Alexander? They said 64, they reneged that, and they've accepted 62. Oh, the unions and the people on strike were happy about it. I think that was the general sentiment. Yeah. They claimed victory, in other words. And they also said it was a gesture of goodwill.
Yes.
From Philippe, the prime minister,
Philippe. Yes, sir.
From his side, it was a gesture of goodwill, they said. But where do you go from here? Because you said it yourself. You said 65.
Yeah.
The UK 67 is going to be 68 soon.
Yeah.
Well, with Macron or without Macron, something's got to give. Russia, we've done videos where we've said Russia's going to reform their pensions. So what happens here?
Absolutely. So at some point, some kind of reform has to happen. Something has to give. I mean, there's no question about this. I mean, you can't continue in France with this incredibly overburdened system that you have, with these very high taxes, with these very high costs at all levels, and with a situation where, incidentally, because of these very protected employment situations that you still have in France, Macron has managed to achieve something along those lines, but about reforming the employment system in France. But it's quite difficult sometimes for young people to get work. But then, I mean, lots of problems for young people everywhere in Europe nowadays, and even in the United and also in the United States. So that's not unique to France. But sometime, at some point, there will have to be a proper reform of the system in France. It's not going to come anytime soon, because Macron is not the person to do it. One of the great reasons which were given for electing Macron president was that he was supposed to be the person who was going to carry out all these great reforms. He's not the person who's going to be able to carry out these great reforms, because ultimately the French don't like him. They see in him an establishment elitist figure, which, to be clear, he is, and they don't trust him to carry out reforms. So this problem is once again being kicked down the road. sooner or later, something will give. If it doesn't give, one day we will get a real crisis in France. But France is also, and I think I have to make this point, a very rich country. If you go to France, it's still a country of great wealth. So there is still time for things to be sorted out. And unfortunately, that also means that there's time to go on kicking the can down the road. So this thing can carry on for some time yet. I mean, there's been talk about reforming the pension system since the 1990s, when it was first attempted by the government of Alain Juppé. But there's still money in France to keep the system running as it is, essentially, for a while. But eventually something will give, unless reform happens, and the reform won't be by Emmanuel Macron, Napoleon, or Louis XIV, as he imagines himself to be.
Right. The thing is that following the yellow vests, the way Macron handled it, he did so much damage to his reputation.
Absolutely.
And to his whatever popularity he had. And I think one of the points that I remember you driving home with regards to Russia and Putin was that Putin had the political capital to carry out pension reforms. Because in any country that you're going to do pension reforms, you're going to take a hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to definitely take a hit as a leader. You may go down 10, 15 points in your approval ratings.
Yes.
So you need that political capital. Whatever political capital Macron might have had, however insignificant, he blew it all during the yellow vests. And so he doesn't really have much to work with when implementing pensions. Is that correct?
That's exactly the point. I mean, he doesn't. People don't like him. People don't trust him. You know, sometimes a political leader can be widely disliked, but at the same time perceived as a figure of authority who commands a certain trust. I remember in the 1980s, Margaret Thatcher was perceived by many people in Britain in that way. A lot of British people didn't like Margaret Thatcher, didn't agree with what she was doing, but they did, you know, fear her and respect her, and she did project authority. Macron does none of those things, and it's difficult to see how he can, because his agenda, ultimately, is not a French one. And this is the key point to always understand about Macron. He's not somebody who really comes over as being interested in promoting the future of French people and being concerned about them. In this extraordinary speech that he did on New Year's Eve, when I said, you know, he was standing in the Elysee Palace and lecturing the French for 18 minutes, he had the tricolour there, but also the flag of the European Union was there. And everybody in France ultimately knows that all this agenda is ultimately about leveraging Macron's position so that he can assert himself more forcefully in the councils of the European Union, in Brussels and Frankfurt and elsewhere. And obviously, people don't trust that. They don't like that. Why should they give up their pension rights in order that Macron can, you know, please his globalist friends and make a big splash in Brussels? That isn't really what people in France want or are about at all.
All right. Kicking the can. I guess that's the...
Well, absolutely. It will happen. You know, I maintain it will happen one day. I mean, I'm aware of many of the things that are said about France and the French, about how supposedly the French are these, you know, bloody-minded, difficult people who won't ever accept any kind of change and that will doggedly protect all their rights. I think if the French one day get a leader they trust, and who is, you know, somebody who they can support, and they will support that leader to carry out the kind of reforms that are needed in France. But it will be a leader who has the interests of the French first and foremost, and who projects some quality of competence. Macron does none of these things.
Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell to make sure you get notifications when we publish a new video. Look for us on iTunes and on SoundCloud as well. And also go to BitChute and DuranVideo.com. We post all the videos on those platforms. And download the Telegram app. Subscribe to the Deran channel there so you can keep up to date with everything that is going on. We are still running the DRN 20% off all Deran shop merchandise. Mm-hmm. And anytime you purchase one of our ebooks, and we have two new ebooks with a foreword written by Alexander, we will donate 100% of those proceeds to the NSW Rural Fire Services, who are fighting the fires in Australia.
Absolutely. And that's that's been important for us, because this has been a major story, a big, big event. I mean, it's been a heartbreaking event for people in Australia. We are not sure. We've not really known how to cover it, because, as I said, we are a channel that deals with geopolitical news, with economics, with politics, with things like the kind of thing we've talked about on this video with Macron and the French reform programs. Fires, you know, bushfires are not something we really understand very well or are able to discuss very well. But we do recognize the immensity and the tragedy of this. So we got together and we discussed how are we going to help. And Alex came up with this proposal, which is that we dedicate the proceeds from the sales of our ebooks to the firefighters who are fighting these fires in Australia, who are, you know, not only incredibly brave people putting themselves in huge danger, but they're also, by the way, mostly, the vast majority of them, volunteers. So that's why we're doing that. But can I just say, you can also donate directly. We have that facility to this fund. But we would urge you also to buy the books. We're not making a profit from the books. As everything we make from the books goes to the firefighters. But we do think they are really interesting and good books. There's four of them on our shop, one on Brexit, one on Russiagate, but the two new ones, as Alex rightly said, one on Ukrainegate, this vast scandal, you are led to think, which dominates the media in the United States, which is all the talking heads talking for hours about. But when you drill down to it, there's no actual story there, because there's no crime, there's no wrongdoing, and yet it dominates the political climate and news in America. And then you have the other book, which is about the Epstein story, which is about the story, the scandal that in fact does have multiple crimes, does have multiple wrongdoing, does actually have real victims whose lives have been destroyed. I was reading recently, since after we did the books, that he was Epstein was still carrying out his crimes right up to 2018, and that 11-year-olds were involved. And yet the publicity that story is getting is so much less. So the purpose of our books is partly to explain these scandals, to explain to some extent that huge discrepancy, and also to make the stories themselves a bit clearer. So you can find our books, which will, I think, educate you. And let me repeat again, all the money goes to the fund, which is supporting the firefighters. Now, we don't just sell books. We sell lots of other great things. Or we sell our fantastic magic mugs. This is the one which with the coat of arms of the Russian Federation, as you get on, in the Kremlin. But obviously, this is not a Kremlin mug. It's a Deran mug. Far better, I am sure, than the ones you get in the Kremlin, because it is of such high quality. In fact, you can't get a higher quality mug than this one. As you can see, we've unchipped, unbroken, no discoloration, nothing. And that's true of all of the magic mugs that I have, even though I use them heavily, even though I've had some of them now for almost a year. So you can get our magic mugs from the shop, and you can get amazing shirts like the one I'm wearing now and the one that Alex is wearing, 100% cotton, long-sleeved, short-sleeved, V-necked, or really smart and elegant polo neck shirts of the sort that you can wear in glittering social occasions. As Alex said, the DRN at 20 discount is still there. So go to our shop, buy yourself these great things, get them for your friends, buy our books, which will help the firefighters, support the Duran, support yourself, and Alex will tell you how.
All the links are in the description box down below, including the DRN20 coupon code. Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of the Duran, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.